Good morning. I'm Coach Jake Taylor. This is Coach Bob Spradling up here with us. And we call all the pastors here coaches because we believe here at Maywood that God intends for Maywood to be a team. And that as pastors, our job isn't to be superheroes or to do everything. Our job is to help you all find your positions on this team, help you guys thrive in those positions. And so everyone in the room right now, I feel like God has a spot for you here at the church, and it's loving this community in Independence. So that's why we call ourselves coaches. And today we're going to be finishing up a series. Yeah.
Let me say a word about us being coaches and you all being on the team. This is not just a nice way to talk about this stuff. It's the real thing. And so I'd really encourage all of you to ask God, Lord, what's my role? What role do I play? What place do I play? And you say, well, I'm just so new. Let me tell you something. The new people are the ones who bring the new people. And so don't sell yourself short. One of the things you might do is just find a friend and say, hey, come with me to church. Just sit with me. That's all you got to do. So don't just hear that every Sunday and say, okay, good deal. Thank you very much. Sermon series.
Yeah, no, that's good. Our series right now is called Into the Light, and we're actually doing our final week on it today. The first week we talked about this statement from Jesus. It's pretty harsh, talking about how he's the light, but a lot of people choose to stay in darkness. They actually don't want the light. And we talked about when you come into Jesus' light, he's going to show you some uncomfortable things, some things in you that need help, and you can't sweep them under the rug. You've got to change to come into his presence. So we talked about that the first week. Last week in the first service, we talked about this idea that God's brought us into the light for one main goal, and that's to make us his children. He's invited us to be a part of his family and to actually be brothers and sisters to Jesus, to be the same type of people that Jesus is. So that's where God's taking us to. Today, we're going to be talking about whether we're actually in the light or outside of it. And then to get us started, we're going to look at a little story from C.S. Lewis, an article he wrote, Meditations in a Toolshed. And I'm going to kind of just steal his analogy this morning for us. So C.S. Lewis was in a toolshed. I don't know if it was in his backyard or something, but you've probably been in a place like this before with an old tin roof that's got some holes in it. And so C.S. Lewis is in this toolshed, and there's just one shaft of light shining in this dark shed. And it's a dusty, kind of dirty place, and so that's why you can see that little shaft of light, is because of the dust. We've all had those experiences before, but he described that as looking at the light. Then he went over and stood directly beneath the light to where it fell right on his eye, and he had a very different perspective. The tool shed vanished, and what he could see instead of all that dusty stuff, is he could see up into tree branches blowing in the wind, these green branches, and then blue sky beyond that. And then, since C.S. Lewis is kind of nerdy, he knows how far the sun is. He says 90 million some miles away, the sun shining. So it's this very, very different perspective when you're looking at the light and when you're in the light. And it's this much more positive, full of life vision, being inside the light. So I'm going to kind of steal his analogy and get it, you guys to think about this. Am I looking at God's light from the outside, or am I actually in God's light? Because they're very, very different places to live our lives. All of us are in church today. All of us aren't just totally shut off to God, wincing. But some of us in this room, I don't think, realize the fact that we're just in a room with the light. We're not actually in the light. And when you're in that room, everything's dusty. You can see a lot of flaws in other people. You can see a lot of things that are wrong. But you don't see a lot of hope and life and these miraculously huge things going on in your life. So we're going to look at a passage from 1 John. I'm going to read the first verse for us. John doesn't pull any punches. He lays it out straight, and he says, here's how you can tell who's in the light. He says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. So very, very clear. If you think, oh, I'm one of these people in the light. I've got a good relationship with God. I'm a good Christian. Well, John says, here's how you know whether you are or not. He says, if you claim to be this good person or claim to be a godly person, but you hate a brother or sister, then you're fooling yourself. You're still in darkness. Now, most of us don't think of ourselves as hateful people. From the time we're very, very little, we're taught that hate is bad. Don't say you hate your sister. Or don't say you hate your brother. But think back over this last week with me for a little bit. Think about the types of actions, the types of attitudes that hate really involves. So like in the top left here, we've got a guy who's just in a rage. And think back over this last week. Have you felt this way towards someone or even acted this way to somebody else where your anger was calling the shots and you're just venomous as you speak to them? You want to hurt them. Is that
some of you are interacting with one another too much on that one.
Yeah.
We will have prayer at the end of the service.
Yeah.
You can come forward. All right.
There you go. So this top one is a violent one. You want to hurt them. And maybe you're not this big, giant guy. Maybe you just have the right word to say that no one else even knows is mean, except for you know. It's going to make your wife really feel bad, or it's going to make your brother really feel terrible when you say that. So how many of us have had that anger this week towards someone else? If I want to hurt them. How many of us have been like the lady in the top right of just dismissive about someone else? Of, oh, I'm sick of dealing with this person. They're so immature, or they're so beneath me, and they're ridiculous. They're a poor excuse for a worker, or a poor excuse for this or that. Maybe the lady at the bottom left is more like you, of just totally exhausted at having to be near that person. Maybe those people are your kids, or maybe they're your husband, or maybe they're a boss. But you're just, even if you don't do this, maybe that's how you feel internally, though, of I just can't wait to be rid of this person or be away from this person. The bottom right is a little bit colder, but just as hateful. This idea of I'm done with that person. They're dead to me, or I'm not going to forgive them. I'm fed up. They've had, you know, too many chances and no more. I'm sick of that person. I'm not going to forgive them. In fact, it's going to give me a little smirk if something bad happens to them. If the boss finally chews them out, I'm going to think, oh, good, they finally got what's coming to them because they're so lazy. I'm sick of them. All of these different emotions, if you've had those this week, you probably didn't think of yourself as like, oh, I'm such a hateful person. But when we look at them and talk about them, what else are they except hate? Hate means you feel something bad about somebody else. You want something bad for someone else. And when we look back over our week, it's probably pretty easy to see different little points where we've done something hateful or felt something hateful towards somebody else. And the scary thing is, John says, if you're hating other people, then you're not in the light. Bob, talk to us about what people in the light are like.
Okay, let's look at the next verse. Next verse says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. And so let's just go ahead and move to the next slide there, Jake. So this is a picture of Matt Andrews. You didn't know that was when Matt had hair, and his face is a little bit obscured. He's the one bench pressing the almost 500 pounds there. This whole business of love helps us zero in on what we really have with the Lord, okay? And so this is pretty impressive. I've actually been in the gym where I watched somebody do that kind of weightlifting, and I started praying for them instantly because I didn't want to be there in case they couldn't get it up and we had to call 911. So you all see this picture, and it's a lot of fun. Matt Andrews is made the only guy in the church that can approach that. I can watch. There's a kind of interesting commercial on TV right now. And there's a picture of a guy, the Matt Andrews guy, underneath the bench lifting all the big weight. But then there's another fellow behind him, and he doesn't look like the buff guy back there getting ready to spot him, but he looks like, I don't know, a real slender fella. He's wearing a T-shirt and a hoodie and his street clothes. And he's eating, I think he was a power bar, but it looked to me like a candy bar. And that guy, that was his first day in the gym. And the first day in the gym was, I'm going to watch somebody else and be really in awe of what they're doing, but I'm not going to do it myself. And I've seen that. I watch a lot of sports on TV, so I've seen that commercial a number of times. I thought, well, that's how it is in church sometimes. And we can fool ourselves. If you were here last week was a memorable service that will stick with me for the rest of my life. And if you were here, you can walk out saying, wow, wasn't that something? And I mean, it was emotional, and it was, I mean, I cried all day long. I mean, you know how it goes? But God does not want you to live your life through Josh Monk or through Jake Taylor or Amanda. He wants you to live your life with him. Just had a lady from 24 Hour Fitness call me up this week and said, sir, your membership is over. And I thought, huh, I haven't been there so long. I didn't know if they even kept me on their roll, you know. Just because you're a member and you're hanging around doesn't mean that you're engaged, okay? And so this love, little test of love, is a way for you to look at your life and to say, am I really engaged? It's interesting that he used love rather than tithing or getting free from addiction or not cussing or all the stuff. He doesn't use that. He uses the biggest, highest standard. He could have used some of these others, but he uses the biggest, highest standard, and that is, do you have love in your heart? What is love? And boy, this is one of those things that's so hard. Jake and I talked this week. It is so hard to drill down into love. Love is an action. Love is a verb. Love is giving of your time. Love is giving of your energy. Love is not just saying, I love you. Love is loving more somebody else rather than getting them to love you. There's a whole lot of stuff there. You define it. I'm not going to take the time to work through it. Here's the image I want you to know. Am I exercising my life in the light, and can I see it in my life? So am I exercising? Am I engaged with God in such a way that it shows, and if I pull up the test of love, it shows in my love, okay? So we could talk on this till midnight. We won't. I'll turn it back to Jake.
Yeah, just a real quick kind of random litmus test or test for yourself. Is that person maybe that came to your mind that's frustrating to you, the last time you had an opportunity to say something bad about them that would hurt them, talk about them behind their back? How did you do in that moment? Did you?
Jake has just quit preaching and gone to meddling.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going.
But did you take that opportunity when you had a little bit of power over that person? Did you use it to help them, or did you use it to hurt them? The last time you had the upper hand with that person that's hard to get along with. The tricky thing about hate, John's going to tell us about it, is people that have hate in their life, they don't even know it. Most of the time. Here's what he says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, he says, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. This is the idea that they don't even have an idea of what they're doing wrong. It's a little cartoon here. It's kind of silly. It shows a guy that's blindfolded but is all excited to run off of a cliff. And people around him are thinking, no, you shouldn't do that. Well, when you have hate towards somebody else in your life, you're headed in a bad direction. That hate is going to hurt you. It's not just about what you're going to do to that other person. You might hurt them too. But that hate, we've all seen it. We've all seen other people hold such a grudge that it hurts them. Or hold on to unforgiveness that they can't experience joy. They miss out on friendships that they should have had or relationships that they should have had because this hate is driving them to a bad place. Today, You have to make that choice of, are we going to be driven by that hate, or are we going to come into the light? Bob, talk to us a little bit more. What does it look like to walk in that light?
Okay. Let's read some more, okay? Excuse me. Let's not read some
more.
Can I just say a word about this? I had that on my mind before you asked me to do something
else. You're fine. Yeah.
How many people know about resentments? I mean, we got a whole bunch of folks. Resentment is a word that we all know. I've learned that from a lot of our people in 12-step groups here about resentments. It's so true. Someone who is full of resentments doesn't know where they're going. They're going to fall off the cliff. It just happens. That was running through my mind when you asked me. Let's talk about the light. Give me the next picture again. So here's the picture of the light coming through the ceiling, and I'm sure you all have sat there, and you can pick out all the dirt in a room when the light shines through. You can see all those dust motes flying, and I can see the hair on my neck that I missed when that's coming through, and in other places, my ears, and it's crazy. So you can find all those things in that light. You also can look down your nose at somebody else and find out all the imperfections in their life. And one of the tragic things about the church is the church has been extremely good at finding out what was wrong with somebody else. And so you can be a church attender, you can be a church member, you can be active in church, you can be in the ministry, and you can spend your career correcting everybody else because you are letting the light shine. You're looking at it, but you're not living in it. But if you live in it, it's going to change you. So flip the next slide. And I told Jake that I would like that. I wish that was just the whole deal, because there's some people who don't just have a hole into heaven, but they have their whole life bathed by the light of God. Do you all see that picture? Their whole life bathed by the light of God. That is the goal, all right? So I talked about a few people during the early service, and I want to just mention some, and I can't mention all that I know, but I want to mention a couple. I want to mention Josh Monk again, all right? When I first met Josh determined in his life to spend a couple of hours every day reading his Bible and praying. And so when he told his class, or when he spoke in church about read your Bible, he knew reading his Bible and praying was the very life that God could put in him. Those of you who knew Josh in his former life, I knew a bit of him in his former life, knew all the character flaws he had. And you know the great guy that we celebrated last week, all right? I will tell you how that happened. Josh sat in the light. Pull me back one, Jake. Josh sat in the light, and the Lord bathed him in his character and his likeness. And he's not ready for sainthood and that sort of stuff, but he sure is one of the most incredible Christians that I know, all right? Amanda, when she came to church the first time I met her, I don't think she'd ever been in church. If she had, it had just been once or twice. Josh had 3 months that he owed the state of Missouri and went back and served his time. And I didn't know Amanda at all. And in my mind, I thought, what's going to happen with her? Here's what she did. She carried that Bible that she had, and she read it, and she read it, and she read it. She never missed church. She never missed Sunday school. We didn't have our small groups there. And you all, I can't tell you, I don't know of anybody who is living through a tough situation like they are, living like she is. I mean, she's doing it. Where does she get all of that? Well, she's a wonderful lady to begin with, but I'll tell you where she gets it. She lives in that place where the light of God can flood her and live with her. Let me just tell you one more story, and then I want to draw this to us. A couple of weeks ago, I did Ray Beebe's funeral service. Ray was 85 years old, lived with Jesus from the time he was a child all the way till the time he was 85. Worked as a counter person up for American Airlines at KCI. Got up every morning at 2:30 to go to work. At 2:30, I'm just rolling over for the first time. Why did he get up at 2:30? He got up at 2:30 to meet the Lord before he went to work. And those of you all who know Ray, Ray's such an incredible guy, such a fun guy. When he was a kid, he tied a string to the church bell, went across the street to a school, and he and Al Peters, they pulled the bell. They're some of our deacons, guys. They pulled the bell, and everybody went, how come that bell's ringing? when he was an old man, retired up in his 70s, he worked on an African-American church, good friend of mine, Leroy Sullivan's church over in KCK. And he was up on a scissors lift, not high enough, so he stood scissors lift, then on top of a step ladder to do some wiring in the place. Crazy, fun, enjoyable, godly man. We're living in his prayers, but where did it start? It started because he lived in the light. The light, I just see Jake in that picture, I love it. I see that light just coming down out of heaven. Now that comes back to us. We can be really nice, as I have said, narrow and nauseating and negative Baptists, all right? And there are plenty of those running around, all right? We can be those, or we can say, Jesus Christ, I am going to go into training. You remember my weightlifting picture? I'm going to go into training, and I'm going to work out with you, and the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to let your light permeate my being so you can make a difference in me. I don't have, Jake had the tough part to talk about today. He had to talk about those who hate and those who are negative. I get to talk about the fun part. If you will live in the light, God will change your heart. He'll make you new. You won't hate, you'll love, and you'll be somebody that we all sit back and applaud. So thank you for letting me. Go for you, man.
Maybe you've been sitting here today and that very first verse was kind of discouraging, that if you hate a brother or sister, you're in the darkness. I mean, John really laid it out there. He said, if you're holding on to unforgiveness towards your dad, or if you're holding on to resentment towards that old boss, or if you're still bitter and want bad things to happen to that person you knew years ago, if you're holding on to that, he's saying you're in the darkness. Like, you can't hold on to that hate for somebody and experience God's light. Now, the great thing about this series, though, is here at the end, we kind of come back to where we started at. The very first thing Jesus was talking to us was, if you want to come into the light, you got to be willing to say, I need your help. You got to be willing to come and say, I don't have it all together. I can't get over forgiving my mom, or I can't get over letting go what that person did to me, or I can't get over forgiving this person for how they still act right now to me every day. So coming into the light is saying, God, I need your help. That's our first step. It's not saying I have it all together. It's saying, Jesus, I'm not perfect. I need your help. The second week we talked about, where is God taking us? If we'll reach out to him and say, I need your help, he's going to take us and make us like Jesus. We don't have to make ourselves like Jesus. We just have to look at who Jesus is every day and let God purify us. Look at him every day and say, if you're reading in John chapter 9 about how Jesus stuck up for his friend and was a loyal friend, then you realize that day, I need to stick up for my friends and be a loyal friend. And you start to live like Jesus because you see him every day. The step that we're talking about today is kind of on the back end. What if every night you went to bed and you thought, before you fell asleep, you thought, did I love people today or did I hate people today? Was there a single person today that I hold hatred towards? What if you did that every day? Your hate wouldn't get to be this big giant ball that ruins your life. It would be something you'd work on every day with God. And throughout the day, you'd start thinking more and more, how can I love other people? How can I defend the weak? How can I help somebody who needs encouragement? If we're going to be in the light, our life should be full of love. It's a real simple little process here. God, I need your help. God, I want to be like Jesus. And then, God, did I love people the way you want me to today? I mean, that's just ABC. It's 1, 2, 3. But you have to make the choice to do it. We're going to have the worship team come up. It's our time of response right now. We talked at the beginning about we're a team. Great teams don't do things by themselves, not just one player trying to do it all. We're a team because we know it's hard to do this life with God. And if you want somebody to pray with you today, we've got people down here eager to pray with you. Don't miss this chance to respond. Don't miss this chance to get into the light. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. God, help us to step into your light, not just to be negative on the outside. God, I pray in this time right now we would make our decision of how we're going to live when we walk out these doors. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.